doesn't. It started to come to the surface a little bit, and I think it's like most things in America. It's driven by money, and you know, we talk about cab companies and sedan companies and all this other stuff. You know, Ray Miles came up here and spoke and said that, you know, the cab gets 35 jobs to one at the airport. Okay. And I look at that and I think, well, okay, that's a fair number. That probably is right. And then the gripe is that somebody in a town car is actually doing a job in Portland at a hotel. And they're upset that somebody's there doing that. Now, I realize that there should be regulation. My concern is that we've got limousines, cabs, town cars, pedicabs, four different operations. I can tell you that there's two sides to my business, and the one should be regulated, and I don't believe the other one should, you know, except for safety. I believe that that's the right way to go, but there's so much underlying stuff going on here that I really think that it needs to be separated. And if you have to write four drafts, you got to write four drafts. I mean, I guess that's the what I'm driving at.
Thank you.
So, which side of your business don't you think should be regulated?
Well, I think right now it's really unclear on the limousines where they actually fit into that.
So you don't think limousines?
There's really no place for us to park downtown. So we don't. Quite honestly, our limousines, if they drop off downtown, they go somewhere else to park because there's no place to put them, which that's understandable. That's part of our business. We understand that part of it. But we're being regulated by the same thing that, you know, and I wouldn't even classify myself. I wouldn't want to classify myself, my limousines with my town cars and with a pedicab. They do something totally that is just not even in my market. It has nothing to do with my market at all.
Thank you.
Next three.
Are Gene Ritz, Michael James, and Jonathan Magnus? They'll be followed by Tomas Bernal, Alexa Soles, and Yakslav Karkai.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Give your first and last names.
Good afternoon. My name is Jean Capshrice. I'm with Green Cab and Shuttle. For the last 7 months, myself and our managing member, Tesfai Alame, have been part of this process. It has been a long and arduous process, but we think it has gone very well. And I would just basically like to say that we echo radio and Broadway's sentiments and believe that this should go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Michael James. I'm with Custom Limousines. I'm up in Washington. And can anybody on the council tell me how many charter parking spaces there are in Portland? Nobody can tell me that.
Well, you give testimony, we listen.
Okay. Well, I was just, you know, I've been trying to find out. I've been working with TriMet on it. There are places in Portland for charter buses to park. I have a charter bus. I don't fall under the category of the limousines because I don't have limousines. I have charter buses. I don't fall under the category sedans or any of the other anything else on this list. So I have a concern that if you pass this, everyone looks at my vehicle as a limousine because it's an H2 Hummer, and everyone thinks, okay, it's a limo, but it's not. I have a Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association sticker on mine. It's monitored by the feds. They do a safety report on it, and they do a safety inspection, go through all my paperwork every year. And I won't be able to come into Portland and say, okay, I need a place to park, and I have to park with limousines. That I'm not going to get a tag for limousine because I'm not one. I can't get a tag as it is because I'm in Washington. Now, I do have a way for them to kind of search, do some searching on the safety part so that they can maybe work with us from Washington to come into the city of Portland. But I still haven't got an answer on how we're going to be able to come into the city of Portland and do business without being able to get a permit because we don't qualify. I mean, how am I supposed to be able to pick anybody up or drop anybody off if I can't get a ticket or a tag from the city of Portland?
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Magnus. I own PDX Pedicab. We operate in downtown Portland. We've been around for about 3 years now. We're the longest running fleet of pedicabs operating in Portland. We've been operating the whole time, you know, without any rules or anything to govern our actions. Casey Martell operates Rose Petal pedicabs, which has been operating longer than us, with an individual pedicab for, you know, a good 5 years longer. So, you know, I think Sue and her team have done a great job in putting together some legislation that is long due. I think we need some safety restrictions on pedicabs in Portland. Granted, there's a lot of work to be done on what's there. They've been very willing to work with us. I look forward to having it go through. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce the two VIPs you brought with you?
Oh, this is my counsel, my attorneys.
The youngest knitter I've ever seen, actually.
They're very well behaved. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Welcome to the City Hall.
Next three, Carla, please.
Are Thomas Bernal, Alexa Soles, and Yaxlav Karchai. They'll be followed by Chris Castile, Arthur J. Palmer, and Patricia Montgomery.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Please give your first and last names.
Thank you. My name is Tomas Bernal. I just have a brief statement. This that you're supposed to vote on today says that the purpose of the legislation is to better reflect the industry. However, and I'm not sure that it's been made totally clear, we as pedicabbers have not been represented on either the Transportation Board of Review or standing committees, either as owners or drivers, nor have we been invited to any work sessions. So we have been totally excluded from all process points in this law. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, we're not actually voting today. We're taking testimony, and then it kicks over to another hearing.
Okay.
I'm basically just here for support and
your name, please.
I'm Alexa Soles. I am pedicabber for Cascadia Cabs.
Thank you.
And I've been doing it for about a year, and I definitely know what safety is, and I definitely agree that safety regulations is a must. And basically just want to support that and definitely want to reiterate that we want a part in it and that we want to know what's going on, basically, before any rules are set.
Thank you.
Vyacheslav Karhu, Portland Taxi Cab Company owner. Just want to say thank you for giving me a chance. And the rules are the rules, and the cost and the code is the must. I mean, it's not perfect, but it is the best we got so far. And any city in the world, the taxi industry is the core of the city. Let's not change Portland to another industry. So, taxi industry is the taxi industry anywhere in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next three are Chris Castile, Arthur J. Palmer, and Patricia Montgomery. And they'll be followed by Tim Kelsey and Tuan J. Junkier.
I'd like to ask, I'm representing four different...
Can I have you hold on? Mr. Palmer gets seated. It's good to see you, Mr. Palmer.
Thank you, sir.
So, welcome. When you get your turn, first to last name, you have 2 minutes.
I'm representing four different companies. I'd like to ask for 3 minutes, please, if I could. Chris Castile.
You have two.
Thank you. I represent the four largest companies that have a combined 112 years of experience and constitute 85% of the market. The owners of these companies are competitors. However, they do combine their efforts when necessary. Now is such a time. Many limousine service operators believe that since limousine service is a luxury and unnecessary, use of it should be buyer beware. We do not agree. The Revenue Bureau and the city attorney are correct in their desire to create a safety certification for public transport requirements. It is our combined opinion that professional limousine services enhance the ability to sell Portland to convention planners and other out-of-town, out-of-market entities. The city as a whole needs to be confident that only safety-certified limousine companies operate in Portland. Throughout the current ordinance rewrite process, these four companies have given their insight using their unique perspective on this industry in this in this market. While all four company presidents are grateful for the diligence of Revenue Director Sue Klopertanz, and most of our recommendations given have been included in the new code, a few of the most important recommendations have not. These include cap restrictions, enforcement, and market saturation factors. The new code contains the possibility of a cap on the number and type of vehicles our industry thinks it may need. Since our industry supplies desired but not needed transportation, we must be able to add any type of vehicle we see fit and in whatever numbers we feel we need. Should we be wrong in our additions, we are the only ones to stand to suffer financially. Our success or failure is at the whim of the public. Since any regulation depends on the enforcement for its success, this new code fails to even address this issue. While we support mandatory safety requirements for all of our vehicles and chauffeurs, we are concerned that an enforcement arm has not been established. Limousines operate primarily between the hours of 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights. While most obvious enforcement arm would be the Portland Police Department, discussions over the years have shown no interest by that agency.
You need to wrap up.
The only other alternative for the revenues to hire enforcement personnel, which has not been addressed by this code, nor has it addressed the cost for adequate enforcement.
Thank you.
And we'll be happy to, if you send your testimony and we can read it before next week.
We did turn it in to each one of the members. Mr. Saltzman has a comment there.
I don't have that. Why don't I send that?
My office. Okay. Mr. Palmer, it's good to see you.
Thank
How
you,
are
sir.
You? Welcome. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, sir. It's going to be hard to say what I need to say in 2 minutes, but I will try. Your Honor and Commissioners and Mayor, I founded Low City Cab Company 35 years ago, and I've been the manager of it for 35 years. This new, and I know for five people to manage a city the size of Portland, you have a big job and a big responsibility. Even with your work, all the committees you set up to take care of work like this, to rewrite this new code, it's hard. You can see all the I's that's being dotted and the T's that's not being crossed. And then it comes to affect the people that do. Now, this here is a copy. But you see what it says on the top of it? City of Portland, taxi cab zone schedule. And I wonder sometimes, I don't want to know this, there's more than one way of skinning a cat. And I wonder, is this back to the old way of skinning a cat? And that is, when the city put this out, they gave us a certain stand once every 30 days. See, it says City of Portland, Rose City Broadway Radio Hill. With that being done, that put us almost out of business. It did put us out of business, other than the fact that there's nowhere else to go and have a job for the people who deny jobs. Now, I've asked this city council several times to increase the number of cabs we have so we could stay in business. I have only 19 cabs after 35 years. And that shows there that what's good with this laws here now, and they're lacking and failing to get more permits, that this cat of old wheel being skinned just might be skint. So you got here that you raise this company, be the smartest in the town, you raise the insurance. And we fought this toothpick and nail down at the board level. So you have to come to this. To not raise this insurance to $1 million, to leave it at $500,000. But they did anyway. And so I told Executive Secretary Pat, who never missed one meeting all the time that board meet all these years, to keep on top of these things. So I'm going to have to come here with these things. But we have to come because you are the founder said, it's your responsibility. You got a big one. Five people running a city this size. It's a big responsibility. So what I'm saying, when you raise this insurance from $500,000 to $1 million, it up my insurance $38 million. I'm $38,000 a year. Yet, I only have 19 cabs because I couldn't get my numbers increased over the years. The last council, the last mayor said here, company started not needing at least 49 cabs to operate. I still only got half that many. So with that being done, I oppose this here, raising this city, this amount here from 500,000 to a million without giving us more permission, even that more hard to do it, to save us here. Now, the next thing on here that you got in here, this new code that a cab shouldn't come within 35 miles of the airport,
a mile
to the airport. If you do, you got to see, like I said, these are being enforced by not you every day. You can't do all these things. Whoever get these jobs, and then the companies is really harassed. And with those 2 points, I wish and ask you to reconsider raising this to 35, to $1 million from 500,000. And when I come back to you again, maybe you may consider giving us some more permits so we can survive. The city has grown, expanded, but we can't compete. But yet we need a job. So what do we do? My drivers, and the people who work with this company here all these years, they get the butt end of it. So those two things I ask you to consider. And this, and the secretary should go from there. My time is up, I assume. That's so good over here.
You can tell there's a new boss that's arrived.
I wanted you to have ample time.
Well, thank you. Oh, I see you in your honor. And ma'am.
So, my name is Patricia Montgomery. I've been involved in the transportation business in the city for 23 years working with Mr. Palmer. Glad to have the opportunity to have done so and hope to continue to do so. One of my big concerns that I've been fighting with on this code rewrite, which is really a necessity, the rewrite itself, because the transportation business with the town cars bribing the hotels and stuff is out of hand. So something has to be done to clear it up. But displacing the smaller companies with some of these rewrites in this ordinance is not a good thing. The insurance being raised for $500 to $1 million would put us 35% higher in insurance coverage. If you received a letter from the American Business Insurance Services, if you haven't received it, in their section, they stated that most municipalities require $100,000 per person, $300 per accident, and a $50,000 in property damage coverage across the United States, including Miami, Los Angeles, and New York City. $1 million in coverage is the highest in the nation. Now, I know the code states that it doesn't want to displace competition by increasing these costs and fees and insurance costs is surely to put the smaller companies out of business. I think the intent is to keep the competition, to keep the larger companies in, told to try to compete with the smaller companies, not to put us out of business. Another issue is the airport, a part of the code where they want to restrict that you can't have over 65% of your fleet at the airport. It isn't the issue about 65%. The issue is about making demands to where you start telling cabs where they can operate. As he said, in 1973, there was this thing put out to how many days you could spend on the stand. We don't want to set guidelines to where they start putting percents and telling us where we can operate and where we cannot.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last two who signed up are Tim Kelsey and Tuan J. Junkier.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Good afternoon.
Who would like to go first?
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Kelsey, and I'm associated with Rose City Cab Company. I just want to reiterate that the 65% standard, if it was set as a guideline, as it's written, it would make it unfair and disproportionate for the smaller companies. Cab companies to compete unless the permits was proportionate, everyone had the same equal amount of permits, then you would be able to compete fairly. For instance, at a standard of 45% on 20, if you per se had 20 permits, that would be 13 cabs that you were able to delegate to serve the airport. And at that rate, you would make basically $1,400 or more a day. However, the larger cab companies with 100 permits would be able to have 65 cabs at any given time there, which they would be able to, make in excess of $22,750 per day, which would significantly increase the gap as it pertains to competing. I don't think that type of regulation should be set because it would not allow fair and equitable competition amongst the cab drivers themselves. if that's what they need in order to help survive. So again, I reiterate that safety regulations and public safety is of the utmost standards. All of us agree on that and concur. But to put percentages and in regards to who and how you can serve and where you can serve would put your smaller companies, medium-sized companies, at a significant disadvantage.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir.
Thank you. My name is Tuan Junkir, and I've been shuttle owner and operator for Portland, City of Portland, and Port of Portland for last 16 years. Matter of fact, one of the second oldest shuttle company in Portland. I very concerned about the safety, and I support the city group who organized this safety concern and all those code riding. I really support it. But I have only one question is right now we have about 35 shuttle companies, and with a vehicle of 50, 60 vehicles, and in this program, nobody representing any shuttle industry, which is obviously pretty sad. About 10 years ago, we sit down here, Mr. Lendy Leonard was here, and Mavira Katz was there. I was sitting down here, and I was talking to the same way, so I support this code writing, but the code writing is, my feeling is, my way of understanding is incomplete, which is, for example, and you can take a program, page number five, it says shuttle transportation mean transportation provided in a vehicle over fixed route and time schedule, which is does not exist today. Only exists to one company. So what we like to do it is, if that's so, they could explain, and I think we have to have a representative together, and we're at work, we would like to work with you in more years to come.
Thank you for your testimony, both of you. So, thank you. Part of the reason that this issue hasn't had any major update is that it's very complex, and there are lots of different stakeholders who feel very passionately, and moving forward with any change, either is perceived as or in reality, gores one ox and sustains another. So I think that we're going to move through this over the next two additional council sessions. So if staff could come forward and collect questions from council or concerns or ideas, and then we will return next week.
So if we could, as part of that,
yep,
amend this in, so that was the document people were
So it's been moved. Would you like to move it again?
I can move it.
And is there a second?
So I'm going to second it. Just I want to have a conversation with my colleague and friend. So you'd like us to adopt this so we have a complete matter before us, but we'd be doing so without respect to whether it be subsequently amended based on other information we receive.
There might be additional amendments beyond this, yes.
Okay, a second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on council about this proposed amendment. Commissioner Saltzman.
I guess I have a concern, or maybe I want to know what the rationale is for, I get finding a hotel $500. I guess what I don't get is if town cars are going to demonstrate to the administrator that they have a contract with a hotel, they're charging the minimum fee. Why do we need to charge them an on-demand license fee every year of $2,500 for the first vehicle and $1,000 for each additional vehicle? That's just,
I think that's actually something that was added by the Bureau of Licenses. Mm-hmm. My amendment is actually G.
So the rationale for the $2,500
is G.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought everything in red was.
Well,
okay.
I think I was a convenient vehicle.
Okay, well, the question then is directed towards.
Pardon the fun.
It's directed towards Sue Clobberton.
I see you passed the buck, the $2,500, in fact, Sue.
Your thoughts on adding those exceptions?
A notarized contract with a hotel, you know, minimum fare $50. All that's got to be recorded with us. Why?
It's administration. And
but they're giving you all the paperwork. They're showing you the notarized contract. That seems to make administration easier, not harder.
Well, follow up though is the theory is that they're picking people up on demand. We get complaints. We have to follow up. And so there is extra staff work involved there, plus reviewing the contract and negotiating it between the hotels and the town car company. So it's just the cost of doing business. Plus,
it seems a little higher, than most of the other fees.
If you remember, we started with taxi regulations, and we require taxis to provide service 24/7 throughout the entire city. In return for that, the council in past has decided that town cars had to have a 60-minute reservation. You're basically giving up that reservation. So in part, these amounts are intended to be barriers to the contract-type situation.
Can I make
a suggestion? Don't want the contracts.
It has a negative impact on taxis' ability to obtain the more lucrative rides, if you will, to the airport.
So if I could just address that. That's the first time I've heard that. It makes sense to me after having been associated with the Bureau of License and overseeing this program. This is an extremely, would appear on its face to be a complicated area unless you're actually working out with the folks on the street. And the issue that Sue is trying to get at and is doing an outstanding job doing is to make it clear that taxis behave as taxis and town cars behave as town cars, as they are designed to do. And the effort has been by the town car operators, some of them, not all of them, in collusion with the hotels because they can provide a cheaper service, is to have like this money under the table scheme wherein some of the town car drivers will pay some of the hotel folks to call them instead of a cab driver. So the problem is you have cab companies and drivers who are exceedingly regulated, have a lot of limitations on them, that are having their business taken from basically an unregulated industry.
Yeah, I get all that.
But that's what she's getting at with these fees.
So one
well, it seems like we're creating a new avenue here, but yeah, we're saying we really don't want anybody.
Well, currently there is in the existing.
I think you're trying to strike a balance, right?
Yes.
Okay, anyway.
So we can revisit the amount in the future related to the amendment, but is there additional discussion on the amendment?
I'm prepared to vote for this amendment so we have an integrated document that we're going to be debating over the next two sessions.
I have a question.
About the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. And then I'd like to go to vote.
We didn't hear any testimony on the $2,500 and the $1,000. Is that new? Had everybody seen that, or is that?
That's new with the amendment, as is the G part down below. So no, the board had received this amendment. Beyond that, it had not been distributed prior to today.
So I'm a little concerned that we didn't call that out at the same time that we had the $500 discussion, so people didn't know that they had the opportunity to testify on that.
Part of the reason why we're going to have two more hearings on this. We'll have another hearing and take testimony next week before we move to a second reading. So we're going to have two first hearings. Because this is so complex, and we're trying to learn like you are.
So we'll reprint the proposal with this amendment in it so people have it.
All right. Carla, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
And I don't know whether I'm going to support it in the end, but yes, I agree that this is what we have on the table. Aye.
Adams?
Good amendment. Aye. All right. Amendment is approved. Now let's try to get out, starting to my left, questions, comments, concerns, ideas, and we'll just work our way down the dais.
So, Sue, I have a bunch of questions.
Okay.
And my understanding is we're going to just put the questions on the record and get some responses later. I would prefer that.
All right.
If possible. And since I'm not an expert in this area, the questions may not be artfully framed, but we can always follow up with you. Could I get a copy of what you've described as Attachment A? That's in our book. Could I get it in red line format so I can see what's changed from the original?
From the current code?
Correct.
That does not exist because it is so, it would just be totally redlined. Everything in the current code would be redlined and we started over.
So is there a little cheat sheet that you've put together that has the highlights of the significant changes?
I don't know that it's okay. We'll make it.
We'll get it to you.
But yes, there is.
If I could, just on the major. And one of the reasons I'm asking is, for example, on page 6 of attachment A, it lists the composition of the board. And we've had some testimony from people saying they're not either a member of the board or haven't been, and yet this seems to be an exhaustive list of everyone who's testified. So I'd like to know who is not currently on the board, who we've heard from, and who is being added. I would say just the highlights. I mean, there's probably lots of technical changes that we're less concerned about, but really the substantive things and the procedural things, if we could. I'm particularly interested on the pedicab side of just your thoughts on some of the what has been described to us as inconsistencies or definitional pieces that don't quite fit, and I think one of the people testified talked about 16.40, 0.080, and 090, where it doesn't quite jive with a people-powered vehicle and what the consequences of that is. If you could just inform us on that. Actually, I think her name is Alexa. I have to just say, you know, I actually once was in your pedicab with a friend of mine. And, well, you weren't so happy at the time because we had to go up a very steep hill. We went up most of Burnside, and I just was marveling at how you navigated and how fit you are, but I just wanted to. So the tip might have reflected that. Anyway, the limo versus town car issue, could I just get a little primer on what some of the key distinctions are? At probably a fairly basic level. There was some talk of charter buses and how they do or do not fit in. I would appreciate some clarification on that. And also whether it matters that people have a place to park downtown to provide the service. Just that came up in two different contexts. I'm just curious how that fits into this regulatory system. Mr. Palmer raised the question of the insurance. I'd be interested in understanding more why we're proposing to go to 1 million and where that puts us with whatever comparators you have, other jurisdictions. I want to come to Frank Dufay's defense. I don't always agree with his postings online, but I certainly will not hold it against him that he, like I, I'm a transplant from New York. I got your back on that one, Frank. So there may be more, and my colleagues probably picked up on some of the more subtle things on the testimony, but I appreciate the testimony very much. I think we've learned a lot, and I'm glad that we're going to do this in a three-phase process, so we'll have a chance to get some feedback from you and then consider other amendments. But I would be remiss if I didn't compliment you and your team for really an excellent presentation. Commissioner Salzman.
Well, I guess there was a lot of testimony about having representation on the private for hire board, and Commissioner Fish brought it up. I looked at it, so there is proposed representation for limousines and pedicabs.
Correct.
Okay. Good. I was interested in the issues raised about possibly removing code violators. And again, I'd just like to know more about that option. Also the classic car exemption, maybe. Perhaps based on mileage or some other thing. It seems like if it's a single classic car type for weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever, that's not really what we're intended to bring into regulation, unless I'm wrong. But I wasn't also interested in the insurance issue of 500,000 to 1 million, if we're really a lot higher than other cities on that. And I thought I heard Mr. Palmer say there's a proposal, or current proposal, no cabs within a mile of the airport. I guess I,
That's not exactly the proposal, okay. But there is a proposed limit on the percentage of your cab company that could be at the airport.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to get more information on the percentage. I think that's what I'm really after. I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay.
Commissioner Fritz, your mic's off.
So I note that we did have some people testifying from the limousine industry saying that they had been involved in this process, and I recognize that it's difficult for you're not really representing an industry. You don't have a mechanism to let everybody know, neither the city nor the folks who were on the committee. So I just want to recognize that I'm really impressed with the testimony today, that everybody respects the process. Actually, it's amazing. 7 months is really a fast process for city government, and that there's this much consensus after 7 months is truly a testimony to your team and also to the good input that everybody has given. And I'm glad we're doing this ongoing process. There was a question about not requiring a motorist license for pedicabs, and I saw in the code that there's also an opportunity for a government-issued photo ID, wondering whether there's other options maybe connected with the training that could apply to pedicabs. The question was raised about out-of-town owners and how folks coming in from Vancouver or Canby should or shouldn't be affected. My colleagues have already got most of them. Issues that Chris Castillo raised about the cap restrictions and the enforcement. And in particular, I'm interested in the enforcement of the 65% of the fleet at the airport, how that would be counted. And I think it was a very good point made that it's not fair to the smaller companies where 65% might be one or two cars. And then the insurance question also I'm interested in. Thank you.
Commissioner Leonard.
The only thing I would observe is on the issue of whether pedicab operators should have a license or not, there's a distinction in my mind between whether you've never had a license and having had a license and have it removed. And I would not want to have citizens or visitors in a pedicab with somebody who had their license removed. So I'm not as persuaded with the argument that they shouldn't have licenses. So just to balance that. Having said that, I will just go out on a limb and say nobody here more than I appreciates the complexity of this subject area. I was trying to think of how to describe it in terms such as the Wild West came to mind, entrepreneurs. If you looked up in the dictionary for entrepreneurs, if there wasn't a picture of a cab driver or a limousine driver, there should be. It was a fascinating assignment when I had it. I mean, I had everything from the experience of going to a funeral for a cab driver who was murdered in a robbery to some of the meetings with the cab drivers that were just fascinating for me. I enjoyed it very much. So I actually became quite very taken with the industry and felt very much like the cab drivers work a lot for very little against sometimes impossible circumstances, which you are in the middle of trying to straighten out. And I get that, and I appreciate it. So other than my comment about the driver's license, I'm going to defer to your good judgment and knowing what you're trying to balance, and appreciate very much your work.
All right, so Sue and Shane and the team will be available after this hearing. If there are other questions that some of you have that we didn't mention up here that you think would be worth researching, they'll be able to collect your questions after this hearing. Do you need more than a week, or is a week enough time?
I think a week's enough time. We have the material. Okay. If I could just clarify, would this issue be on the afternoon agenda, or will we just bring it back on the regular agenda?
You're gone next week, Mayor.
Yeah.
So
it's the first reading. Right.
Can we go ahead and have the discussion so we can vote on it the next week?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next.
Do you have a time certain?
In the morning, there is a 10 a.m. available.
So 10 a.m. next Wednesday, week from today, same council chambers, same building.
And you're going to get this amendment.
We'll incorporate that amendment into the new ordinance, the proposed ordinance. We'll also distribute that amendment to our 175 people that we have on our contact list.
All right, council is adjourned for the week.
Hey. You sure may.
Thank you for your note. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
side.